So, Claudia, I'm going to ask you the question. What grounds you spiritually in uncertain times?
Like a lot of people, I have had difficult times. My grandparents are the base of my faith. I think they put in the seed since I was a little kid. And my mom wasn't very like a weekly type of person that will go to church. So when I was growing, I didn't go to church every week. But every time I spent summer with my grandparents, it was a weekly, you know, and I really enjoy it. I think my first call was when I was around 15. I got invited to missions back in Mexico. And seeing the people eager of faith, eager to learn, you know, where they don't have, you had to climb mountains. You know, there's no cars, there's no, you have to walk for maybe a day to get to these places. So to bring a pack of little stamps, you know, from Our Lady mean the world to these people, you know, so that really got me when I was 15. Then I stopped going to missions. And then when I got here, I went to Cursillo, which that was where I think I finally got my faith stronger. So, correct me if I am wrong. Is this kind of answering your the question?
Yes, so you grew up in Mexico, and were you born and raised Catholic in faith?
Catholic,
Okay,
yes.
but over time and for whatever reason, it was important, but there was a time that it was more important, it seems, to your grandparents
Yes.
that you said, I will go on this mission with them. And it's important to go to this for spiritual nourishment.
Yes.
But then coming back to a regular parish, going for regular Sunday mass, wasn't so much.
Right.
Okay, and I think that's normal and natural for lots of people, and especially now. But so you've lived in Mexico, and now you live in the United States, you live in Rantoul, Illinois. So, with all the turmoil politically, with immigration, with racism, with all the isms, with the turbulent world we live in. What holds you together? What grounds you now? Do you so you went to Curcio, and that helped you strengthen your faith,
Yes.
and that you had that 4 day ex or 3 day experience. The
Yes.
fourth day is now.
Right.
And so, your grandparents planted the seed. Life, and let's say Curcio, helped it blossom. And so, how do you rely on it now? What do you do, faithfully now that, you would say, I do this regardless.
Now, I first of all, the promise. Now I know that that's a promise that he will keep, meaning, you know, him. So for me, that is what wakes me up every morning. You know, the promise that I will be with him one day. in order to be with him one day, I have to work here. So, and I have learned during the years that working for him, not just because I will be with him, no, because it makes me happy, you know, being able to serve him fulfills me.
So there's a sense
entirely.
There's a sense of giving back. So for the gift that you know is now yours by
right.
by his
the
life
Eucharist.
And resurrection, you now daily want to say, here's my thank you. Here's my gift, my gratitude in response to all I've been given, all I've been blessed with.
Yes, so, especially.
Yes, tell me the especially. So with your friend.
Especially the gifts. Yeah, especially, you know, like you said, every day we wake up and the first thing I wake up and the first thing I have the cross in front of my bed. And either I wake up singing to him or thank you, God, because I opened my eyes. I promise you I'll do better today. You know, just hold me. Don't let me go. Even if I try to escape, hold me tight and let me be more like you today, you know, get to know you in other people's faces. And so every night I said as well, thank you, you know, because I went through the day. I hope you like what I did. And if you don't, please forgive me, you know? So every day is just a morning prayer and my night prayer. I have my 15 minutes in the morning, my 15 minutes at night. And that's like a way of getting, you know, for him to know that I will not let go. So that, even, you know, if I'm tired, even if I don't want to pray at night, if I don't pray at night for any reason, I will not sleep. I have to wake up and pray. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he has shown me that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No matter what I do, he's always with me. He's always. I am so spoiled, so spoiled. You know, I prayed for a job, and this job came to me, and it was his hand all over it, because I wasn't even asking for a job. They offered me the job. And I was like, God, if this is your will, I'll know. Because, you know, something that I will not give up for money or for any reason is bringing communion to the older people. In every old people that I give communion, I see my grandparents. So I said, if this is the job for me, they will allow me to keep doing this job for you. Mm-hmm. And the person that interviewed me said, whatever you need, whatever you need. And I'm like, wow.
Yes.
You know, wow. So wow. So they gave me every last Friday of the month so I can give communion. And I said, you know, and sometimes I'm, God, I don't listen to you. You know, and that time when he said, this person told me, you know, whatever you need, I was hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, he blessed me with this job. You know, he is giving me this job. So he never lets me go. He knows what I need. And he will give it to me in the correct time. because I had my daughter going to the camp. So that was not the right time for me to get a job. I needed to be with my daughter, with you guys. And now I know to be patient more, you know, and to knowing that no matter what, he will keep that promise.
That's awesome. So he's blessed you and answered a prayer and gifted you with, I didn't even know this is what I needed.
maybe this is
what I wanted, but this is an abundant God, because now I can get my family to school and still work and bring home money and help the family, and also stay connected with your faith and ministry.
Yes.
So you get to bring communion to the homebound. You still get to go to Mass on Sundays.
Yes.
Or be involved in your rosary group or your other prayer groups with the community.
Yes. Yes.
So it wasn't that.
I'm gonna tell you a secret.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a secret. When one of those nights before of this interviewing and all of this job happening, Father Phelps told me, "What's the help that you need for my son to go to St. Thomas More?" And I was very ashamed to tell him, you know, we cannot afford St. Thomas More right now, so I cannot, you know, come up with an amount for the tuition. So, and he said, don't worry, we'll take care of it. Ivan's going to keep going to St. Thomas More. In my head, I was like, you know, kind of embarrassed. And I was like, God, if I get a job, my first paycheck will go entirely back to him. You know, that was like the Sunday after Mass. And Wednesday, I got the job. And I said, I promised you, my first paycheck's going to be entirely, you know, giving back what, you know, I was offered. I want to get back something. And then that was the first thing. And then they offered me, they were not sure what position they were going to offer me. And I told them that I really like human resources. But I was going to be something else, not human resources, something else. They offered me four other positions. And the day that I showed up, he told me, welcome to your office. And I was like, and where's the human resources manager? And he said, look at the mirror. You. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, very blessed. So every time I doubt in my life, I pray to him, knowing that he will know better. He will put me where I can be helpful to him, not for the money, not for the power, not even for the wealth of my family or my kids or, you know, my comfort. It's more, I don't know how to explain it. I always try every step I do for the people to notice that I am happy because I have him. Because every time, if I could go to Mass every day to take the Eucharist, you know, that would be like my perfect day. So I have to be either dying or one of my kids dying for me not to go to Mass. Even on vacation, you know, we will find a church and Mass schedule and we will go, because you know, if I could have a mass daily, go to a mass daily, I would.
Mm-hmm.
It fulfills every single cell of my body.
That's so awesome. I mean, it's being patient is so hard.
Yes. It is.
And remembering the promise. I think because just our own humanity, we've been disappointed so many times, or we maybe think God didn't answer our prayer, but maybe it's not yet. Or maybe the answer is no. But too often, I think, and I speak for myself, too often I can just sink into a pity party. I don't know if that's what you call it. Of, you know, uncertain times, uncertain God. You know, why did that we come back to an maybe a childish way instead of a childlike way of trust? I have become childish in saying, well, you didn't answer it according to my will.
Yes.
In my time frame. And it's so hard right now to have these I appreciate you having this conversation with me, because we were just talking about it. We need to have a firm foundation in our faith, and that's what gets us through. You know, Jesus behind you hangs on the cross. Jesus didn't get out of pain and suffering. Jesus got through pain and suffering, and we can get through it, hard that it may be, but if we have community, if we have faith, faith doesn't mean I know how it's going to turn out. Faith, as you're describing, means be patient and have confidence with every cell in your body that Jesus will take care of it. If it's meant to be, God provides. And that's a real firm foundation. It's not, I'm praying to God and God is the magician. And so make this appear, make this disappear, or the bargaining. If you do this, then I'll go to church. If you do this.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, because he's even doing before I ask.
Yes.
I look at the tiny little piece of the picture, you know, he looks at the whole picture.
Yeah.
So I know I have the certain that he knows what is best for me, even though I don't like it, you know, even though I reject it. He will send signs for me to go on the right path to him, you know.
Yes.
The right path is to him, even though sometimes, like a normal human being, I get tired, you know, because there's so much needed at every, you know, at our churches, you know, and there's few people willing to. And sometimes we do get tired, you know, as well, of being involved in this event, in this thing. And it's so much sometimes that we sometimes even, we're not present with our family, you know, attending what our church needs. And I offer it to him all the time. You know, please, God, give me the strength. I am so tired. I want to say to Father, not this time. If you want me to do it, just give me the strength to do it. And I haven't said no to Father yet. And I was
and
told,
it's okay if you do.
You need to learn to say no. It's good to say no sometimes. But sometimes I said, well, he has never said no to me. And I mean this father here.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and it's his house. And I have to be taking care of his house. And taking care of, because he will take care of me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's being certain of that, that it's the hard part, you know, to trust him.
Sure.
But really, from your heart, trust him that everything will be okay. And I'm not afraid of dying anymore either. And I have told my kids and my husband, you know, if I die, just, you know, be sure that I will be happy because I'm working here so I can get up there.
Yeah.
So you might be sad, but make, you know, trust me, pray for me because I might be in the middle, but help me go up. So I'm not afraid of dying either because he promised me.
Yeah.
He promised me. So.
Right. So that said, beautifully said. So if I could ask you a second question to build on what you just said about your husband and your children. So how do you pass on the faith to your family or as a family in these uncertain times?
Through example.
Example. Perfect.
Example. Yes, totally. If they see me praying, they'll pray. If they see me eating junk food, they'll eat junk food. If they see me having God as my first priority, that's what they are going to learn.
Yeah.
That God is their first priority. So I think you can tell 100 things, but there's nothing like an example, you right. know?
Right. And so. I would concur with that. When you came to help me with Faith Camp, your daughter was there. And on as being part of it, you were part of it before it started, during it, and now after it. But you were able to ask your husband, and your son came along, and you cooked, they cooked for all the campers and the adults for supper that Saturday night. They brought the grill. He went, he got the meat. And so that was a entire family.
I'm sorry.
Family affair.
I'm gonna go to my room because he's loud. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, so you said
so that was showing an example. I mean, you firstly by coming to the Busy Person Retreat, Miranda came with you, which spurred her on to then ask for a retreat for children. We were able to have that. You were involved in that. And then during the camp for the kids, so it was you and your husband and your son who came and cooked for the kids. So, you know, it was that family of faith sharing faith and a meal.
And I didn't see it that way.
I mean, that's being Eucharist, because then Yvonne came and was eating with us at table, and your son Yvonne, sister Paulette, as she's wont to do, had all the kids, including Yvonne, who was the only boy there that day. He watched the video about vocations with Father Chase. and how he's a baseball player and Father Chase was a baseball player, you know, and so lots of dynamics happening because the family came together for faith camp. So, and then now tell me again, if you would. So why we were sitting at the kitchen table in Rantoul over a meal, you told me how Sister Paulita, one of our sisters, contributed to you marrying Yvonne.
Okay, sure. So we were single. The parish, St. Melky Parish, was starting the Hispanic community, and we were 5 to 10 people attending mass, Hispanics, you know. So I was weekly, I was going weekly with her, and I met Ivan through her, my husband through her, because he was wanted to join and he wanted to know how to do it and when we met and everything. So we were so few, and one day she said, would you like to be a sister? And I was like, I don't know. I was very young. I was like 23, just graduated. And I was like, I don't know, you know, I'm starting to work. And she said, okay, so you have to choose. Either you become a nun or you marry Ivan. And I was like, no, none of those, you know. And that was it. And then years later, she left. And then Ivan and I started dating. Then we got together. And then we had a son. And she came back. And she was like, you end up with Yvonne. Did you guys get married? And we were like, no, we haven't got married yet. No, that's not the way I told you that you needed to do it. You needed to marry him first and then have kids. And then when she said that, it kind of like hurt me, in you know, hurt my feelings a little bit. But then I started craving the Eucharist after I talked to her. I was feeling so sad that I went to Mass and I couldn't have him because I wasn't married. So I told him, what do you think about, you know, getting married? And he was like, no, I want to go back to Mexico. I want my family in our wedding. So not for right now. But I was feeling sad. You know, every time we went to Mass, every time I went to Mass, I end up crying. You know, everybody was standing up and having him, and I was like empty, totally empty. So after we went to Cursillo, out of the blue, he proposed and we got married. It took us 1 year of preparation, and we finally got married. So the last time I saw her, I showed her the ring, and she was so happy. So happy. And she said, now you are a family. Yeah.
Oh, God love her.
Yes, yes.
But you know, again, the invitation, for a couple reasons, the invitation just to ask the question, have you ever thought of becoming a sister? So that was a statement of faith also. And then, okay, then I could see you, if not a sister, a very good wife.
Oh, thank you. Don't ask him.
and so Paulita must have seen that in you, you know, to even be able to ask you that question. Have you thought of this? Because you were involved in the church, you were coming to the church, and the goodness. And so if you'd make a good sister, you'd make a good wife. And probably she went over the top by saying, it's got to be this one. Yes. But for now, it's working. And you have beautiful children and you're a beautiful family of faith.
Thank you
So.
very much. We're working. We keep working.
And
Yeah.
that's going to be until we take our last breath.
Yes. Yes, I know. I know, but I know it's going to be so worth it. Sometimes I tell him, you know, just whip me here, here.
Yeah.
I don't care here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful, like you said, you know, being able to go with you guys and celebrate the 150th anniversary there. I know the media is wonderful, but you, through the media, you don't smell. You don't hear clear the music. You don't sense the Holy Spirit. You don't get the hugs of the sisters, the warm, the welcoming, the smiles, the, you know, I don't know how many more words, you know, it's like, if you need love, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's, we could say that too. That's what grounds us in uncertain times is being together in community. And so we do hug one another and we have a funeral coming up. And so we'll have the smells and bells and singing and celebrating the life of a sister who was 101.
Yes, I saw that.
Service. Yes. And even the faith that you speak of is Jesus in the Eucharist, the Hispanic community that you worship with, and now the people that you work with, it's Jesus with skin on. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. And that's the difference, I think, between saying what so many say now is, I don't need to go to church because I can pray to God out by the lake or out in the park. And that's absolutely true. God doesn't need us to go to church. We need to go to church because we need that experience that you spoke of. Eye-to-eye contact, the hug,
yeah,
the smell, the physical ritual of it, rather than just, of course you should pray out by the river or by the lake. We need those times of prayer too, but coming together as a faith community, there is nothing that that equals that.
No,
I felt
that very much through pandemic,
uh-huh,
when I was not able to have his body. It was painful. I was, you know, devastated, you know, worried about the pandemic, but more worried about not having the strength to go through it without having him, without, you know. And I know about all of that, of, you know, restrictions and all of that, but you know, that is something that I don't know how to say it, to put it in words. Even though you can imagine it, it's not the same. You have to have it. is yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. It is real nourishment.
Yes, it is.
It is nourishment, but it is real nourishment. And there's a difference. We teased, it was sort of a teasing, but our pastor that I had before talked about eating and being nourished. So for instance, as you said before, if your kids are going to watch your example, if you eat junk food, they're going to eat junk food. If you eat something healthy, they're going to eat something healthy. And the same, you know, If we eat a candy bar, did we eat? Absolutely. Were we really nourished? Not so much.
Right,
So,
right.
the same with, I think, Eucharist, especially in our Catholic faith. We can pray and we can have prayer services and we can read and we can sing. And is that nourishing? Well, to a degree, celebrating Eucharist together, more so. And you and I experience that every day at camp, and now with 150th, we celebrated Eucharist together. And it made a difference.
Yes, because it's totally a miracle. Sometimes I put myself in his shoes, you know, especially when the father is consecrating. Will I die for the person in front of me? Will I give my life for the person that I don't, that person that I don't like? If God puts me in the, you know, in front of him and said, will you die for him? You know, and I always said, he did. He didn't blink. He knew he was going to suffer and he didn't even blink. And I'm hesitating, you know? So it's so wonderful. Sometimes I think people doesn't realize what who is in there. We should have been, you know, bowing and kneeling and before taking him. It's just the greatest gift, you know. I know that everybody says that, but it is the greatest everything, you know. We don't deserve that. We don't, you know. And he, even though we don't deserve it, he will come to us. He will give himself to us. That I don't know how to say
Yeah. Yeah.
it.
And
And some people think it's a joke, that that's not real. And I'm don't know how to explain, you know, like smack them and come on, you know, you don't see, you don't understand. And maybe I don't either, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
but that's our faith journey, by example. No one will believe us if we don't become what we receive. So each time we go to Eucharist, we become more the body of Christ ourselves. And so we can sacrifice and we can forgive and we can serve. And we need help to do that. And so we come to Mass and we're blessed and we're forgiven and we re receive that nourishment. And we're told to go at the end of Mass, go and proclaim the gospel with your life. And so we try another week, another day.
Yeah, they say go in peace. And in my case, I do live in peace, you know, peace with him. And I can feel, you know, I can feel when I'm enjoying him in my body. I can feel the strength that, you know, I am with you now. You know, he's with me always, but when I take him, it feels different. It feels joyful. It feels, sometimes I tell my son, Mom, are you crying? And I'm like, yeah. And he's so used to, and he knows, but happiness, right? Yes, happiness. You know, because you can cry from happiness as well. So
Absolutely. Yeah.
sometimes he's like, I don't understand you. And I'm he does. You don't look at me, just, you know. But no, yes, look at me, because, you know, he is fulfilling me. He look at me, because that you can feel that too, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's the passing on of the faith then. When we have that conversation with our kids or with our siblings or with our spouse, those are the conversations I think that need to start happening. is faith conversations. I've been with my family recently, and I said, tell me when you appreciated mom the most, or tell me when, what happened when you disappointed mom the most. And just profound conversations. Now, my mother was a mother of 14 children, a wife, a mother, took care of the household, and then took care of the household and worked in our family business. And, you know, now she must have had worries and strength, but you know what I saw? We prayed as a family. We ate as a family. When we, you know, we went to Sunday Mass together. We went to Holy Days together. We prayed the rosary at home together. But even beyond when we prayed together, first thing in the morning, she would usually pray a rosary before the house was chaotic with children out of bed, you know? But we saw that. And so now I can even hear some of my nieces and nephews say, you know, I start to worry and I didn't know what to do. And then I thought of Grandma Margie and I grabbed the rosary and I start praying. And then before you knew it, I wasn't anxious anymore. And so you're right, that example that we could get through this, we're better together than separate. Anytime there's a tragedy and we come together as a nation or as a community, we can get through it. It doesn't mean bad things didn't happen. It just means that we can get through it together.
Right, right. So. I totally agree. I totally agree. And I, you know, I offered when I had my first encounter directly with God, with Cursillo, I offered my kids, you know, I kneel in front of him, of the Eucharist, and said, this is my most precious treasure, you know, these are my treasures. I give them to you, you know, because you will take care better of them than I can even imagine. So when my kid got the first Emmaus retreat, I saw him. When I went in, I knew he felt something, because he looked at me, he smiled and his eyes were shiny. And I was, Ivan, what did you felt? And he was, oh, warm. I didn't know if to cry or to laugh. I felt my stomach. It was weird, Mom. It was something. And I was like, that was God. You know, I was so happy. That was God knocking on your heart, you know. And he was like, and I asked him, what if God chooses you to be a priest? And he looked at me with a, you know, question mark on his forehead. What would you say? Well, I didn't know. I can't say no to God. And that shut my mouth, you know. He knew better than I did. Exactly. You cannot say no to God. So when he said that, I was like, oh, you know, I think I'm going on the right path raising you guys.
I think you are too.
So yeah, that's, you know, that's our first priority, to give them the faith, because that is something that nobody will be able to steal from them.
Yeah.
Nobody. So I really, really hope you got your answers.
I did. More than that. I'm going to shut the recording off now.